Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday. Friday, April the 10th, 2026, 4:10:26, 11 coming up on 12 minutes past the hour here. Good to be with you this morning, and I want to thank all the guests that we have had on the last few mornings here on WGH Talk. We've had Sam Donaldson. We have had former Governor Ted Strickland. We have had former Congressman Jim Renacci and candidate for governor. We've had Judge Joe Brown, and we have had former senator and current candidate for the Senate, Sherrod Brown. So I hope you enjoyed all the guests we've had on this week. But I thought this morning on Friday we would leave the lines open for anything you want to talk about, because I still think the hallmark of this program is talking to the listening audience and seeing what's going on in Marion, learning things together. So the phone lines are open this morning if you have anything to say about any of the guests that we have had on this week or anything else going on. Feel free to buzz in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. But it was quite a week. As I say, Sam Donaldson, Judge Joe Brown, Governor Ted Strickland, Senator Sherrod Brown, and former Congressman and candidate for Governor Jim Renacci. And hopefully we gave you a balanced view of what people think politically. I think three Democrats or three people with more of a liberal opinion and two people with more of a conservative opinion. So you do the best you can. You try to stay balanced and not go all one way. It was nice of Sherrod Brown to come on. You know, when somebody's on the campaign trail, that's a very busy time to be calling into a show, but he did that, and I certainly do appreciate that. And he recently visited Marion, so I thought that was a good take. Also, Ted Strickland, I'll tell you, Governor Strickland really does not hold back at this time in his career. And this is a man who's had a very varied career. I mean, he's been a governor. He has been a Methodist minister. He has been studied and practiced psychology in prisons. So this is a man with a very diverse career, and I think his opinions are always welcome. Anytime you can get a governor or a former governor on this program, or any program, that certainly is a good feather in your cap. But again, the phone lines are open this morning, 740-383-9944. Now, we can start by talking about the national news. And basically, all I have to say is I have no idea what in the world is going on in Iran. I've never seen or heard such a confusing sequence of events, let's say. And if anybody understands this sequence of events, I would love to understand them. So you can call in and give me an education on this. Because, you know, coming off of Easter Sunday, going into Monday, heading into Tuesday, we gave Iran a deadline that 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, they needed to have their stuff together. They needed to have the Strait of Hormuz open. If they didn't, a whole country was going to be obliterated Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. That did not happen, and the reason given was that there was a ceasefire. But come to find out the rest of this week, the Strait of Hormuz probably is not open, according to all reports. Iran is still having the military go through the vessels that are passing through there. It looks like they possibly are still charging for people to go through there. And Lebanon, last I heard, is still being bombed by Israel. So I don't know exactly what we got in the ceasefire on Tuesday that stopped the destruction of Iran, but If anybody does, I'd certainly like to know. Matt Morgan's in the studio live with us on this Friday morning. And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. So, Matt, good morning. What happened this week in regard to Iran, the threats, the ceasefire Tuesday, and what we have learned since in regard to the ceasefire?
Well, I don't have the 10. I mean, I could find the 10-point plan, I'm sure. But I mean, I was looking at the 10-point plan the other day, and I don't think that a lot of the things that are on the 10-point plan are. I guess in theory they're easy enough to do, but I don't think Trump's going to do them. You got to give like Iran the control of the Hormuz Strait. I don't know. There's a bunch of things, but like it's just not things that I think are going to be followed through with.
But even if you go back and look at the president's Truth Social post on Sunday and Monday and early Tuesday, basically the deal breaker was here opening up the Strait of Hormuz. They had to do that. If you don't open it up, we're coming in with the whammy on Tuesday night. And Tuesday, between 6:30 and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 90 minutes before this was all about to hit the fan, he said that they had reached an agreement to open up the Strait of Hormuz. I don't think they have.
I don't know. Are they not letting ships through? I understand it's still under Iranian control, but
all the reports.
I guess Israel's bombing Lebanon. So Iran has apparently said that the whole Lebanon the ceasing of the bombing in Lebanon was part of the agreement. Israel and the United States said that it was not part of the agreement.
Right, but opening the Strait of Hormuz is what was mentioned in everything. Regardless of what else was mentioned in any of this, that seemed to be the deal breaker.
I think Donald Trump just likes to. This is like a play out of the Putin playbook. I mean, now I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, he's Putin or whatever, but like, you know, early in the war in Ukraine, when we were I guess still determining on what we were going to send to Ukraine. I mean, he drew so many, like, you know, how many nuclear red lines did he draw on the sand? He placed his nuclear nuclear armaments on high readiness or whatever he referred to it as. They've apparently been on like high readiness since the beginning of the war. He's drawn so many nuclear lines in the sand and hasn't, thankfully, dropped a nuke.
And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I've listened to everybody, Republican and Democrat, describe this week. I mean, Sam Donaldson was on. Judge Joe Brown was on, Jim Renacci was on, Ted Strickland was on, Sherrod Brown was on. I don't understand any of this. And if you go to Washington looking for answers, you really don't get any answers here. It depends on which day you're asking, or which answer they want to give, depending on which day it is.
I think sometimes Trump just kind of goes by what sounds good in the moment.
Anyway, that's that. 740-383-9944. Okay, well, let's go back to city council. Now, the big conversation Monday night was all about city council wanting to go from two-year terms every 2 years, all council being up, to staggered four-year terms. Now, the reason for this is that there's a steep learning curve on city council, and it's difficult to learn everything in 2 years, and that if you stagger these terms, if everybody's not up every 2 years, then you have some continuity on city council. So that will get apparently three readings in committee, and then we'll see what happens.
If it passes, does it take effect like immediately?
No, if it passes city council, it would go to the voters in November.
Okay, well, I don't know. I mean, I suppose that's up to the people who are going to vote on it then.
But what do you think? Good idea? Bad idea?
I think it might be a good idea to, like, stagger the terms, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know that you need to bump it up to 4 years.
Well, here's what I can't figure out. The reasons being given seem a little odd to me because only two seats on city council last time around were contested. So essentially, 80% of city council did not have to run a campaign and got a 4-year term. So what's the problem? You know, and where was this turnover last year? There wasn't. And one of those elections, Mr. Prater won re-election, so that would have sent him into 4 years if he had not had health issues. And Scott Kreider joined at large, and he had been a councilman in the past.
Well, I think Aaron Rollins, isn't he the longest tenured council person as of currently?
Right now, but again, we're talking 4-year terms here, so I don't know how this fixes that problem. You know, if nobody wants to run, and apparently you need a lot of time to get these jobs down, I don't know where you go. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Sean and Matt, how are you this morning?
Oh, very well. Happy Friday.
Just Friday. Excuse me. I just wanted to point out that Bill Dichtel didn't need 4 years to learn how to do his job. Now, I'm not saying he's perfect, but he does as well as some of the other ones that have been up there for a whole term.
Well, no, and Bill Dichtel is seemingly procedurally doing a.
He knows what's up.
Yeah, he knows how to handle that, and you know, some people have been up there more than 2 years, and they're still not really sure about procedure.
Mary Stoneburner.
Well, all I'm saying is I don't know that time is what's helping this. And what is confusing about me here, this is what confuses me. It has been this way for a long, long time. And I don't remember any council people from the past saying, you know, we just need more time to learn our jobs. We just need more time for this job that we actually do in front of people one day a week.
Well, you and Matthew both sell your labor to the same place. If after a certain period of time, when you get hired in, I don't know how things work anymore. It's been a while since I've been in the private sector. Do you still have like a probationary period?
Yep, you do.
Okay, and you guys are union, so it probably even more so that you get performance reviews, and if you don't meet certain criteria, then you get, I don't want to say in trouble, but, you know, you're going to get a 3 instead of a 5 on your performance review, and you're not going to get a promotion compared to the person that got the 5s and that sort of thing. Does that sound right?
It just kind of depends. I mean, you know, it's an interesting setup.
But you can be fired, I guess. If they would
it takes a lot.
It takes a lot. You would be coached, if it was something fixable, you would be coached through the situation, but if it kept repeating itself, they would finally say, we need to part ways. Now, I know things aren't quite the same as they used to be because the job market is much different. But back in the day, if you didn't do your job, you got fired. You didn't get more time. So,
well, I think most places are still that way. I mean, Ohio is still a no-fault state, last I heard.
At will. Yeah, at will employment. Mm-hmm.
But I guess what I don't understand is, okay, you're running for...
Why isn't 2 years enough?
Well, but no,
to learn a job.
But people are running for office saying that we need change,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the better person to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But you want at least 2 years to learn the job? I mean, if somebody had never been on council, we're electing them to spend 2 years just to learn what they're doing?
I just want to say that in 2 years you can get an associate's degree in college.
What we're talking about here is parliamentary procedure, and anything beyond that, it's just an opinion once you read up on the material that's presented to you, and that's not going to be any different in year 3 than it was in year 1. So I'm not sure what you learn by having a longer term.
Matt, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's basically like I said when he asked me. I mean, I'm not opposed to staggering terms. I think that's maybe not a terrible idea. I mean, that way, you know, you're not the whole city council. I mean, there's no chance.
I think that's a good idea.
But
I think
staggering terms. I don't know that you need to go up to 4 years a term, though.
Right. I mean, when you start getting to, like, the middle of grant cycles, you know, and you have an entire council leave, that is tough. So if you can have 4 members of council or 5 members of council that were there when that round of grants or whatever, you know, loans, levies, whatever, if you can have people that were there, I can see where that would be beneficial. But if they deserve 4 years, then they get 2 terms. They win 2 elections.
Oh, and by the way, something that nobody has mentioned, the reason that city council is set up on 2-year terms and all members up every 2 years is because those are off-year elections. Those are not gubernatorial years. Those are not presidential years. So the idea was is that you truly are voting for your city council. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. It's not a down-ticket vote. You're not voting for governor. You're not voting for president. You're turning out for your local government. And that was one of the reasons, that's one of the reasons these are held these ways.
And that's why they're considered the closest members of government to the people, because it is one of the only things that we are voting on typically when we are putting them into office. And if it's not, it's a local issue, you know, school board or levies or that sort of thing, something specific to the local area, not state or national.
I just find this very strange, and I also find it strange that it kind of came out of left field. I don't know exactly what prompted this. Clearly, it seems as if it was prompted by Ralph Smith because he led the conversation on Monday, but I don't understand. What is the why or the where? I mean, do they feel they are not getting it? I mean, I guess I don't know. I don't understand.
We would need to ask them, I suppose. I suppose I might need to show my face in the building and ask a couple of questions as to what the urgency is on this now and if they could explain it, because if they're sending it to us to vote on, shouldn't we at least understand why they think it is or who or what the reasoning is behind it?
Well, and I haven't said this for a couple of days either, but I'd like to point out that here we are. It's April 10th. And the plan, to our knowledge, for the city of Marion, financial plan has not been sent to the state auditor. And as of April the 10th, there has not been a peep of getting rid of curbside recycling. There has not been a peep about raising the bus fares. And there was not a peep about either one of those things during the committee meetings Monday night. So unless they're added as a special addendum on Monday, they're not going to be there.
I was going to say the agenda's out, and none of that stuff is on there.
Right, so where is that? I mean, if you are getting ready to put this, why is the mayor holding off on that, I guess is the point. Why are you holding off till just before the plan needs to be sent?
If the plan hasn't already been sent, because none of us are actually seem to be very sure of the date right now.
Well, I don't think he could send the plan without announcing that he had done these things. I mean, that would look very bad.
Oh, you're depending on him to tell us before he does it, before he sends it off to Columbus for approval.
Well, he did that with the storm sewers. He did that with the aquatic center. He did that with the sanitation rates. I don't know why he wouldn't do that with these two things.
Because I don't know. A whole lot of this doesn't make sense, but I do want to get this in, and then I'm getting off here because I got a bunch of stuff to do, and I know other people want to talk. I got the video from the incident with Sean Barr and Danny Clark. I'm calling them the Clark Barr combo now. After all of that money we spent to put $15,000 to put cameras and an audio system in the courtroom, there's no audio on those videos. Isn't that interesting?
No audio.
No audio. There's video. You can clearly see me backing up. You can see them coming to me. You can see Danny Clark leaving and coming back. You can see. He told people that I smacked a card out of his hand. He was trying to hand me a card. I didn't smack the card out of his hand. I take the card and throw it behind him. You can see it happen. Because I'm telling him, leave me alone. You can see me, like, saying the same thing over again. But no, there's no audio. Or I wasn't provided with an audio version. Let's put it that way.
You know,
all that money. Wasn't that one of the reasons we were told that they were... Because even the courtroom, the courts I have the invoices. The courts paid for some of that camera system to be installed.
Right. I don't think the audience is mic'd. Because I remember a few years ago when Sue McGowan... Now, this would have been before the new mic'ing system, but...
This is different. That was a black and white video where Collins and her are in the back row. This
no, I think it was color. I'm pretty sure it was color.
Was it?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Well, I got the courtroom videos. Maybe I haven't gone through all of the videos yet then, but I got the courtroom videos of what happened, and there's no audio. And it's hard to believe that we still don't have audio in the courtroom, though, don't you think? We have 34 flock cameras, but no audio in our courtroom.
Well, this is, you know, that's an interesting point that we haven't had a chance to talk about this week. It was kind of interesting how Sheriff Bales sent out a press release this week about a crime being committed in Marion and was very
heavy. No, it wasn't committed in Marion. It was solved in Marion.
Right, but with the help...
The car was stolen in Kentucky.
But with the help of the flock cameras.
And for the yin to that yang, I posted a story of a woman in Colorado who was issued a summons to appear in court for theft charges because using flock cameras, the police decided that she was responsible for stealing Amazon packages off of people's front porches. And strictly because her license plate hit in that area 20 times, it was the same route that she drove every day to work, because her license plate hit in that area so many times, they assumed, and she resembled, now they tell us that they don't know what we look like, but she resembled the person in the videos, so they summons her to court using flock cameras.
Well, I guess...
They can't tell us that the things aren't misused.
Well, I guess back to the point of this that I find very interesting is that, I mean, I believe the headline said, use of flock cameras help solve this crime.
And the headline in that video that I posted, the cop comes to the woman's door and her Ring doorbell, and he says to her, "You can't take a breath in this place without us knowing about it."
Right, but I guess
talking about the flock cameras.
I guess
that should alarm us. I don't care what stolen car got picked up from Kentucky. When cops are knocking at your door saying you can't take a breath without us knowing about it, let the guy from Kentucky go and let us have our freedom.
Yeah, but I guess the point is that it's very interesting to me that it has been stated that the grant for the flock cameras expires next month in May, and now, really, for the first time ever, I had never seen a press release that was so heavy on the use of flock cameras helping them solve a crime 1 month before they're about to expire, which, again, everybody has always said if they get the grant, they're going to continue with them anyway. Apparently, that grant may be in some kind of peril.
I would assume that we would know whether or not we have the grant by now, since they've been talking. I don't know. I'm not going to say that for sure, because sometimes these grants take 6-8 months before you find out who they're awarded to, sometimes even longer. But with the funding coming to an end, and I would say at the end of June, so we'll be like 10 weeks out now, Matt.
Now, at one point, it was said the end of May, but I don't know.
I was being generous in saying the end of June, because I thought I heard the end of May also, but they like to tell me how long I am, so I was giving them an extra month, a buffer there. So, and definitely within the next 6 to 10 weeks, the grant money will be used up. So, we saw them, when I say we, I mean myself and a neighbor, saw them out working on them. There's one downtown in front of City Hall, and there's one over by Speedway. And you know the Ann's carryout you were talking about yesterday, there's a flock camera right there. But I've seen them working on them. So with 6 weeks out, would we be maintaining them if we're doing away with them? It'll be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I thought it was interesting to get a press release from the sheriff that was so heavy on the use of flock cameras helping them solve this particular crime, with the flock cameras set to go away next month.
Well, I figure it's because the flock cameras apparently don't have all that great PR, so they're trying to get some PR for the flock cameras.
I don't know if that's great PR. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
On the flock cameras, I'm kind of thinking that, you know, they post make a post on Facebook about, you know, here's how flock cameras came through and solved this crime. And I would think that Mr. Bales, Sheriff Bales, would be releasing hundreds of videos of all the crimes that flock camera has helped solve and, you know, benefited the citizens and, you know, while being surveilled. So I just kind of find it odd that there's one video, and it's kind of like the only video I've ever seen, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. They say they have a list. I believe B.J. Gruber said they had a list of times that flock cameras have helped them. It'd be nice to see it if they're interested in getting some good PR on these things.
Well, I mean, if this post was made as a PR move and you have this list, I mean, why release one video? Why not release hundreds of videos or a reel of, you know, here's all the crimes we've solved with flock camera? Just makes sense to me.
Well, I think one of the reasons was because we're getting close to the deadline, and I think this was a current crime. So they probably would have sent a press release out on this anyway. So mentioning that flock cameras helped them get to the bottom of this, I think, was just killing two birds with one stone, basically.
Right, I get that. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I'm also saying is this is a controversy. This is a controversy within city council and the people. So, as I said, I would have just taken it one more step further and said, you know, here's one crime that was solved, and by the way, you know what, we just want to show you many, many crimes that were solved in the city of Marion or in the county of Marion because of these wonderful flock cameras that are watching you, and you can't take a breath without being seen.
Well, it's certainly a point. It's certainly a point. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right. Have a good day.
All right, again, phone lines are open. Beautiful Friday morning here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Looks like some rain coming in this afternoon, but that's okay. We'll get through it. We get a couple nice days here, then some rain there, a little cooler temperatures. You know, it is April. April showers bring May flowers. Now, one thing what do you make of the flock cameras, Matt?
I don't know. I guess it's good that they, you know, they got them to solve the one crime. But I'm not a fan of the flock cameras.
Well, there you go.
Well, I mean,
well, here's a conversation. I don't even remember why this came up. I think I was thinking about it on Monday night when I was at City Council. I think the live streaming of the City Council is a bad thing. It's been going on for what, nearly 2 years now.
Well, I mean, they live stream everything now. You can watch like church live streams. You can watch the city council live streams.
And I think church live streams.
They still live stream concerts. You can buy tickets to concerts on the like online. Like what?
Well, right. But see, I think concerts have it right because they're still getting their revenue. The problem, and I think churches are finding this out as well, I think the idea for the live stream was originally created so that people who cannot travel, get a ride, might have to work, whatever, cannot get to the meetings. They can still watch the meetings, those people who cannot do that. But I think what's happening now is the live stream is being used as a reason to not go. Because it does take some effort to get in the car and go down there and schlep through the metal detector and go upstairs and sit there for however long it's going to be. That's work. So it's giving people an option to not show up. Well, the problem with that is you can watch it online, and I'm not against hiding information, but you can't speak out about anything. So you can get angry about what you're seeing, but you're not there to say anything. And you're not there to ask any questions, so essentially it's just theater for people now. It's government is supposed to be participatory, and it's made it not participatory because they're not taking questions online. Now, if they were taking questions online, okay, I could see it, but they're not doing that. And I'm not sure this is a good thing, because the sign of whether a topic was controversial on city council used to be how many people are showing up. Well, now they don't, because they sit at home and watch it. So you never really see what's controversial and what's not. I'm not sure that's the best idea. Now, again, I'm not saying hide these meetings. I think what should happen is the next morning the audio should be released of the meeting, which is what used to happen. So if you really want to sit through 2 hours of audio, if you really want a government lesson, if that's really what it's all about, do that. And you can get whatever information you want. But if you want to be there live, you want to be participatory, and it's also allowed people to be anonymous in their knocking of government, because they don't have to be in the room, they don't have to be seen, and they can take a swipe at whatever they like whenever they want, because they've watched the whole meeting online.
Well, I think online attendance has definitely done in a lot of things. I mean, Easter, for example, like my grandma, you know, they go to church on the Sundays, and she said that there were maybe like 20 people there.
Now, this is interesting. Getting some information here this morning. Per the ordinance that passed council, flock camera locations and crimes they assisted in are to be posted on the city's website. Also, per the ordinance, the police department is required to present to council an annual report about flock cameras used to demonstrate the effectiveness of the need. And apparently neither have ever been done.
Well, sounds to me like they should probably do that, I guess. I mean, if it's written in the ordinance, I mean, that's, you know, that's the law, I do believe. That's how that works.
Well, if somebody would execute what is actually in the ordinance, somebody should pull the ordinance. If somebody would actually just do that, wouldn't that solve a lot of problems that citizens are having with this?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what problems the citizens as a whole have with it.
Oh, citizens have a lot of problems with it. I've sat there through some meetings.
I think that even if they did post all that and give the report to city council and everything, I think that there'd still be a good portion of people
I'm not saying it would cure the problem, but at least the city and the police department and the...
I mean, you wouldn't be able to say, well, what have they helped with? Because, you know, it's all right there.
That's what you would fix.
It's all right there.
Right, that's what you would fix. So I think that would help. Because right now, people have their skepticism about the flock cameras, but we have no footage. We have no case-by-case knowledge of what they actually have done. You know, everything's got some good and everything's got some bad. But if you don't know the good, how can you weigh it against what you think the bad is?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I suppose if it... Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that, like, you could just weigh it. Like, people, the general, I guess, problem with the cameras and surveillance is just that people feel it's in, like, an invasion of privacy. So, I mean, that's about it, I guess. I mean, if you feel it's in some way an invasion of your rights, but, you know, the courts have not ruled in your favor on that one.
Yeah, but if you have
I mean, it doesn't really matter what the
positive. Have video after video after video after video after year after year after year after year of just license plates being surveilled, then it's hard to make the argument that they are surveilling you in another way.
I don't know. I mean, that'd be like if you gave the police the ability to walk, like, to just go in anybody's house at any time and search it. Yeah, you'd find a lot of criminals. Yeah, I mean,
but that's not what's being done here. Yeah, this is a whole different thing.
Video after video.
Well, we lost that call. Yeah, if that was you, call back. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If that was you, call back in. Okay.
I understand that it's not the not you know, the same thing, but I mean, like, yeah, I mean, yes, there's going to be, yeah, I mean, it's going to be used to solve the crimes, but I mean, you could also just solve crimes by just, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but that's the general complaint about flock cameras. That has already been ruled on by the court, so you're just out of luck there.
Yep, you lost.
Right, so that's done. Get past that. So it comes now, because what the accusation is that they're being used for other things. And we have seen no proof of that. And we, you know, again, that's one of those problems that people can be anonymous and just say what they want, but you got to bring some proof at some point. Go ahead, Colin.
Well, I don't do anonymous, but isn't an ordinance a law?
Well, it's supposed to be followed.
Okay, so if we don't follow the law, what happens?
Well, we get charged.
Okay, so why is it the police chief, or sheriff isn't being charged with a crime for not following the law?
Because
the ordinance was passed. They got their flock cameras. They do what they want to do on that, but then they don't follow the law.
Because council is not enforcing their own law.
Hmm. Well, therein lies the problem. Then,
I don't think it's... Is it council's job to enforce the law?
Well, the ordinance...
I'm pretty sure that's the executive's job.
Yeah, but ordinance is not... Okay, if you want to call it a law, I guess you can.
Well, I didn't say that. I just said
but
that.
it's something you're supposed to do.
Yes.
And the people.
Well,
let me
ask you this: they pass an ordinance in Marion to like you can't park cars in the front of your yard, or you can't do this, that, or other. And if you do it, a police officer comes to your house and then writes you a citation for parking your car in the front yard, and then you go to court for it, and then you're found either guilty or not guilty, and then there's a fine or whatever. Levied, right?
Right. But somebody has to enforce that.
So what's the point of an ordinance if we're not going to enforce it or if we're going to pick and choose what we enforce?
Well, that would be a question for city council because I'm not sure that that is the executive branch's job to enforce that. Because I think if council is not going to say, hey, where's our information you're supposed to provide to us, why would the executive branch question it?
So well, who's the council representing, the administration, or are they representing the people? I mean, because the council is there to represent the people. They are there to try to work with the administration, but they are not a team member of the administration, regardless of whether they're in the same party or not. They are there to represent the people.
Right, but if nobody's complaining and nobody's saying you're not doing this, then who's going to reinforce it?
No, I get, I hear your argument, I'm just trying to bring up the discussion here that, you know, as Naomi said at one point, Chrissy Neff came there and was screaming about Naomi's committing a felony by doing this or this in city council chambers. Okay, nothing was ever done towards that. We seem to, you know, this whole incident with Sean Barr. You know, he confronts Naomi, and, you know, the police don't do anything, but yet in the meetings that I've been in at city council, if that left side of the room, as, you know, you're facing the gallery, if we clap, or if we, you know, say anything, we interrupt or whatever, man, that gavel comes down hard and fast. But so the whole thing just seems to be a double standard. The whole thing seems to be the us and them thing. And you know, Mr. Collins may want to, if he wonders why all this is going on, is people are tired of living in the strongest town and we're not even a part of it. You know, they don't care what everybody thinks. He's not representing the city as a whole.
Well, I don't know that anybody's ever held his feet to the fire on anything.
Well, why would you have to? I mean, again, they talk about Scherzer, they talk about prior administrations, about how they did this wrong and did that wrong, and they campaign on what they're going to do right when they're running for it, but then when they get in office and the shit hits the fan, it's like, well, look what they did. They did it too, and we're not as bad, and we're this, that, and the other. It's lame as hell.
Well, Yeah, I think a lot of people would feel that way, but I think again, this comes to televising the meetings. And this is the main problem I'm having with that, is I think it's detoured for people from coming and asking questions. And if nobody's there to ask the questions, why would anybody be spurred to do anything? You think they're going to care about an email that comes the next day from somebody who watched the meeting and look at that and go, wow, that's a big deal? No, they're not. Yeah.
And I don't think there's any, you know, absolute solution to this. I hear what you're saying. I agree with it to a degree. I think it also, because people can watch it online, people are starting to watch it because they just don't want to go hang out at City Hall, you know, to start out. So I think it's a good and bad thing. You know, I'm not an either-or person. I can see the good of having it televised and live-streamed. You made the statement, I think, yesterday that you thought better to record it and release it the next day. I kind of agree with that. But, yeah, the people need to get involved. The people need to let their voices be heard. The people need to understand that they voted, or maybe they weren't a part of voting these people in. They need to be a part of voting these people in. Again, or out.
Well, here's what
that
I would
say. Your voice, people.
Right, and here's what I would say on that is we have had the cameras now, I believe, for 2 years, over 2 years in City Hall, and I certainly don't think council attendance has increased. If anything, it's decreased. So these cameras are not making attendance go up at City Council.
Right. I wouldn't know on that. I've only been, you know, coming back for this last year, so I'm gonna run with you on that. I've seen more involvement from people on Facebook. I see people getting involved, and as I said, I'm not coming against you, Scott. Like I said, I can see the good and bad in a lot of things. I think it has a good aspect. I think overall, you know, it's kind of like the flock cameras. I think flock cameras, there are good things that come from it. And, it, you know, if I had a child abducted and you know, the kidnapper was found through, of course, it's a wonderful thing. But you don't throw away your rights just because you're not doing anything wrong. Well, and people constantly say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, what do you care about if there's a camera here or there? Well, you keep doing that. You keep giving your rights away. You're not going to have any rights anymore because they're going to take them and they're going to all over them.
Well, I guess all I would say in this regard is most people who are thought of as holding council and the mayor's feet to the fire, the reason we know that they're doing that is because they're in the room and they're walking up to the podium doing that. They're not sitting in their living room yelling at the television. And
I agree with that.
That's the difference.
I agree with that. And I 100% agree. If you come to council and sit there and watch when things get stirred up, watch when comments or when the public gets fired up, they very much in that box, and Mayor Collins very much pays attention and looks around the room. So I agree with you there. If you are going to have the impact that you want to have on this administration or any administration in this council, you definitely have to get off the couch. You have to get in there.
All right.
Agree with you 100%.
Okay, thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What do you think?
I tend to agree with Phil there I understand to some extent the whole like, you know, why does it matter if you're not doing anything wrong? But yeah, I do think that, you know, you go too far down that path and you'll get to, like, you know, like 1984, and they'll put like cameras in your TV screens, and I don't know. If you haven't read 1984, read it. Great book.
But this is one of those situations, again, much like the water. Do you have some proof that the Marion Police Department is using these flock cameras to do things other than read license plates?
No.
Okay. So, then we cannot make those claims, because it seems as if people, if you want to make the claim that you don't want your license plate read, okay, that's fine. Make that claim. But every time a claim is made against the flock camera, there's always a little more dumped in there. They're using these for other things. There's stories of this happening in other places. Do you think they're not looking at somebody's house? They were surveilling the No Kings rallies downtown. We have no proof of any of this. And again, that's the difference between news and opinion. It's okay to have that opinion, but you got to bring some facts in at some point. Go ahead, caller.
How do we get the proof that they would be doing something untoward with these? We would have to get it from them. Do we really believe that they're going to give it up to us?
Well, probably not, but again, I think that comes back to the problem, much like with the water. Now, everybody says, well, the water company's putting out the statements. Now, what are the chances they're going to tell us something bad is going on? Well, okay, that's true. We'll take that. But also, making false statements like that, if they were ever tripped up and somebody found out through hook or by crook, I mean, this is all supposed to be public information, that they were doing things that they said they weren't doing, that's illegal. That's a crime.
Michigan.
Right, well, right. But again, here we are. The first time the water was, and God knows I don't want to go down this road again, but the first time the water tasted bad around here was December. And here we are in April, and where's the hubbub? Where's the lawsuits? Where's Aqua's in trouble? Where it didn't happen. So it was just a lot of people stirred up for...
I don't want to fear monger over the water because it is what it is at this point in time. However, in a situation like Flint, Michigan, sometimes those things take years to develop. So no, we wouldn't know 3 months later. Again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with the water that's killing people, but what it should have done is raise awareness to all the lead lines we have in the area.
Right,
maybe we can get that addressed.
But you can't. Here's the problem I guess I have. If every time there's always more to everything,
but we have reasons to believe. We have examples. We're not just pulling these things out of thin air like, oh, they're using SWAT cameras to monitor us. There's examples. And I can't say Marion City Police Department. I believe the Electronic Freedom Foundation in that article that I read more than I believe them. But there's instances around the United States that would give me reason to pause and believe that my own police department is, I know they're at least capable of doing these things. Whether or not they're doing them, I don't know. But I know they're capable of them because other police departments are doing them.
And
as far as the water goes, I know it's possible that the EPA and these water companies don't get it right because it happened in Flint, Michigan. So we're not just pulling these things out of thin air. We have reasons why we don't trust the government.
Right, but things are not couched that way is the problem. If you couch it that way, that's fine. I've got no problem with that. As I said, I don't know about the water. I don't know. I can't say for sure one way or the other.
EPA was here and they said it's fine.
Right. I can tell you what the EPA said. I can tell you what has happened since then. I can tell you about visits to the emergency room, which are none. I can tell you that. I can tell you that factually.
We have the facts. Is what we have, but we also have reason. Healthy skepticism, Spears. Healthy skepticism.
Skepticism. Well, I think you should be skeptical about everything, but that's not what people do. People use it to scare people half to death, or they use it politically.
Fear-mongering is different.
As if it's fact. And
yes, fear-mongering is entirely different.
And I think if the flock cameras stay, I think it's going to be because of that.
If we keep flock cameras and not actual human-bodied police officers, I think that's actual crap.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We got a break coming up, but we've got more to talk about. Stay tuned.
Bye, guys.
All right, hey, we've got a break, but we've got more time. As I said, we're going to leave the phone lines open today because we've had guests most of the week. So we're going to take this short but important break and come back in about 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere. Watch out for the cameras.
Listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it how much of Mrs.